back to work. It's part of the wedding. No Sicilian can refuse any request on his daughter's wedding day.
Don Corleone, I am honored and grateful that you have invited me to your daughter's wedding.
You can act like a man! What's the matter with you? Is this how you turned out a Hollywood Pinocchio that cries like a woman? What can I do? What can I do?
What is that, man? Look at it. From now, this Hollywood big shot's gonna give you what you want.
Too late, they start shooting in a week.
Leave the gun. Take the cannoli.
Got any mask, good night, boy.
Hello, fellas. Everybody's here. Freddy, Tom. Good to see you, Mike.
How are you, Mo?
Got everything you want? The chef cooked for you special. The dancers will kick your tongue out, and your credit is good. Draw chips for everybody in the room so they can play in the house.
Fredo, you're my older brother, and I love you. But don't ever take sides with anyone against the family again. Ever.
We've known each other many years, but this is the first time you ever came to me with counsel for help. I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
All about
fire.
Welcome to episode 47, the Fireworks Brigade. Ron the Banker here, and to my right, as always,
Johnny Starr,
owner of Starr Fireworks, Fargo, North Dakota. That's Starr with two R's. We get together to talk about the people and the passion of fireworks. We have to warn you, though, we've known each other for quite some time, and sometime we go off track, but thanks for listening. I can't believe we've known each other for so long, and I can't believe I didn't do any Godfather ever before. This is the first time.
I love the Godfather. You know, summer brings out the Godfather in me because everyone's calling me up. Or, you know, it's like, you got my stuff. They're starting to talk. They almost talk like I'm. They talk to me like I'm the Godfather.
Well, you are.
I'm the Godfather of fireworks, I guess. But
that's nothing wrong with that. Yeah, no. But I when I sent you that text saying, have we heard of the Godfather before? You said no, and you said, but I like that because the spring brings out the Godfather.
Yeah, brings out the Godfather in me.
I've never heard that before.
Of course, being of Italian descent, you know, this is, you know, it's almost Godfather was like bred inside of me.
Oh, right, yeah. We grew up with that. That's right. Yeah. That's ingrained in our DNA. Yeah,
like most rich families grew up with chocolate chip cookies. We grew up with Godfather.
and what brought that to my attention was last time we were together, you had said that you had wanted to do a scene from Godfather 2, I think it is, where Hyman Roth gets killed in the airport.
Well, you know, as I travel around, and I never ask anyone what they do for a living. I really don't care. I really don't, honestly. Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't. If you're a banker, that's great. I don't ask anybody, you know.
Right.
And, you know, I'll be sitting in a pool minding my own business like I normally am. And then someone will say, so what do you do for a living? And, you know, I used to tease them, so I'd say, pest control. I get rid of pests, you know, to let them know that they're pestering me. But, you know, so now when I saw The Godfather the last time for the, I think it's the 812th time, bits and pieces of it, I should say, there was a scene in The Godfather 2 where Hyman Roth is bombarded by news media as he gets off the airplane in New York. And he has this line that he uses. And I just, so now when someone asks me what I do for a living, that's exactly what I'm going to do. I may even go into the whole Jewish mode accent. I may. I don't know.
And I've made a realization. I'm like Make-A-Wish. I'm like your Make-A-Wish.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm like the Make-A-Wish Foundation. You talk about it, and boom, I bring it up. So we're going to go through some fireworks first, but then we'll get to that. After commercials and stuff, we'll open up the Pyro Playhouse, and we'll do that scene will let you be Roth. I even went to our trusty Fiverr,
I got
different voices for the questions in the airport. I got sound effects. We're all set. We're gonna when we do an acting thing, we got like 10 more people in the room, and then it always gets out of hand. But just me and you, we can knock that out. It's 2 pages. We're done.
Yeah.
But I'm like your make a wish. You're gonna put a little star on my.
If Hyman Roth could do it, so can we.
Yes. Godfather. Did you know it was nominated for 11 Academy Awards and it won 6? Did you know that?
I was too young at the time, but I do remember being like a big winner at the box office and everything.
Yeah, the American Film Institute ranked it the 32nd greatest film in American film history.
Yeah, I mean, The Godfather. There are certain movies I can watch over and over and over. As many times as they're on, I can just watch them over and over. And Godfather is one of them. I'll do like a Godfather marathon, even though I've saw it already. I know the ending, but
it's still good to get there.
You could recite the lines almost verbatim, which is kind of funny to when you're out with a bunch of friends that understand The Godfather.
Right. Well,
now when I mentioned The Godfather in Fargo, now I know they're of a much younger age and everything, but they don't even.
My kid's never seen Fargo.
Godfather. They don't even know The Godfather.
No,
I don't understand
that's sad.
That. That's a prerequisite in an Italian household. It's like you get baptized and like, watch The Godfather. And that's it.
I remember last year in Fargo where you were holding court in the lunchroom at about midnight. We're eating pizza and you got all your little Labradors from the warehouse. And
Labradors, that's nice. Yeah. Retrieve that.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And you had it was Brady or Isaac or one of them. You had them reading a book about gangsters.
Well, Isaac. Yeah, Isaac. Isaac's obsessed with gangster.
Is he the one coming
to Chicago?
For DePaul?
No, Brady.
Brady,
the bigger guy, yeah.
Oh, I get those two confused.
Well, they're both about the same size.
Yeah, yeah.
They both tried to work with me on the forklift at two different times, and I just told them, you know what? And I included myself. I said, I'm a big guy, too, and you're a big guy. Yeah. I mean, Brady and Isaac.
Right.
Two big guys on a forklift, on a little picker, like the size of that forklift. There's no way that two big guys can work without somebody getting hurt. And then a couple times I pull away and Isaac falls on the back of my legs and he can hurt me. So
one more thing. Godfather Part Two remain the Godfather and Godfather Part Two remain the only original sequel combination to both win Best Picture. Along with The Lord of the Rings, The Godfather Trilogy shares the distinction that all of its installments were nominated for Best Picture.
Wow.
So do you, and speaking of job descriptions and stuff, you tell people, what do you tell people now? What did you just say? You tell people you're a troublemaker or you look for trouble. What do you tell them?
Oh, like what? Or jobs? Pest control.
A pest control.
Yes.
Do you remember when we were little what you used to want to tell people to try and pick up girls?
Montana Realty Company.
Remember? Speaking of Al Pacino, remember you used to say you wanted to go tell girls that you were a blimp pilot?
Oh, yeah. No. Not a blimp pilot. A crop duster.
I remember you said a blimp pilot because you figured there wasn't that many of them in the world.
Yeah, what I like to say when I'm out is, when someone says, if I'm trying to impress somebody, I like to say, well, I'm a pilot. Because right away they jump on, you work for United or American. And I like to say, no, I'm a crop duster.
Oh, okay.
And then it just, gets them going.
I just remember the blimp pilot because you always thought when we were in our teens, you're like, I could pick up chicks because, not many
Nobody
dudes drive
blimp.
Yeah. Yeah.
And everyone would like to go on a blimp if you had one. I mean, seriously.
Right.
And then I remember going to the Air and Water Show years ago and all those Blue Angels and all of them are flying those fighter pilots.
Oh, yeah.
And then the guy comes flying that low-flying, big, huge aircraft, like a cargo plane. And he's going, slowest plane ever. And you said, but could he really pick up chicks in that plane? And he probably can't compared to the Blue Angels. But,
right. I think you got a better shot if you're a Zamboni driver. You can maybe pick up chicks that way.
I'll tell you, I love that new little Zamboni we got for Star Fireworks. That is a lot of fun.
Well, it doesn't clean ice. It just cleans the floor.
Yes, well, it's my Zamboni.
You put like a little wrap on it, says Star Fireworks and stuff.
I haven't done it yet, but I think I'm a But it's just nice to sit down and you're going down to a warehouse and you see a little. I got a video clip there, Jeffrey cleaning the floor.
You drive on it or you push it?
No, you drive on it.
Really?
Yeah, it's like that's what I said. It's like a little Zamboni. Before the other one was you push behind it. This one you actually get on and you steer it and you drive it. It's got reverse. It's got a horn.
Does it beep when you back up?
Beep. Nice. And it's got a horn on it. It's really awesome.
You gotta email that to me.
Yeah, so. I got a picture of Jeffrey cleaning the floors on it. He's having a ball. Everybody wants to clean the floors now.
Used to have the push one.
Yeah, we had to push. We still got the push one. We're waiting for Dino or Steve to put it on eBay.
Good luck.
Yeah, we'll have
that
for 10 more years. Yeah.
All right. Let's get into Pyro. Yes. Pyro Purge. What's your China trip? How was the flight?
China trip was pretty good.
Where'd you go?
I know we talked a little bit about it last episode, I think, but pretty good. Landed in Chicago straight to Hong Kong. Then from Hong Kong, I flew this time from Hong Kong to Changsha.
Usually take the train.
Usually take the train, but you know, short trip, didn't really have a lot of time, so I decided to just
hop
on a plane and
time-wise.
A plane ride from Hong Kong to Changsha is about an hour and a half. And the train, it wouldn't be bad if you could just take the super train from Hong Kong directly to Changsha, but you have to take one train to Shenzhen, and then from Shenzhen, you got to take a taxi to the other railway station, and then from that railway station, you catch the high-speed train to Changsha. So, yeah, it's like, you know, last time I did it, I was like, wow, this is like an all-day thing.
Right.
You got to get to the train station early, then you got to catch another train and go through the border. I'm like, you know what? We're coming home from Changsha, it's not bad. Going back to Hong Kong. There's a train that goes from Changsha all the way back to Hong Kong. Well, that's not bad. Not from Changsha, but from Guangzhou. Mm-hmm. So that's not bad. When I'm in Guangzhou, I don't mind going back to Hong Kong. But for going from Hong Kong out, it's better to fly.
Right.
So that's what I've been doing.
And you went there to check on all your fireworks to make sure they're in production. If not, you're going to halt them. So what happened? Any surprises?
Well, we got 21 cancellations. Not the end of the
21
world.
21 products.
Yeah,
21 separate
products.
SKUs.
Yeah, separate SKUs are gone. Not the end of the world, but most everything will be in by June 6th.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. I mean, you know, it's good to go there. You're on the ground floor. I got to see a lot of products. You get to see your products in the warehouse, which I say, why are they still here? They should be moved.
Why aren't they in my warehouse?
Why aren't they in my warehouse if they're sitting in yours?
Yes.
But, you know, it's like
they wait to get
else.
A container
yeah,
full,
yeah,
right?
We got to get 800 cases in the warehouse to get a container, or 900, depending on what it is.
Yeah.
So we got that done, and it's almost like a logistics coordinator when I'm there, because I'm like, well, who's this going with? Who's that? You know, there's a lot of questions that are answered person to person so much better than emails. It would just take forever.
Oh, yeah.
It's honestly the best trip.
Yeah.
Of it is, and it was funny. I went to my Italian restaurant, and I got to see.
That's right. I remember that.
I got to see my German friend, which I haven't seen him since October, and just so happens he happens to be, well, he eats at the Italian restaurant every night, because as most Europeans do, because we don't like Chinese food.
Did you get the tomahawk?
And I didn't get the tomahawk steak this time. I went easy on them. You know, they're having shutdowns at the factory. I didn't want to bust them out, you know, but it was good. I got to see my few little friends I made there that just happened to be in town. See, it's funny, when I'm there in April, I'm checking production. When they're there in April, they're actually buying.
Right. It's
and
the reverse.
And vice versa. And when they're there in October, they're like me in April going, why is this stuff not done?
You know? Right.
So it's kind of cool. So we had a lot of talk.
Yeah. Overall, effective trip. And then this way, when you came back for the dealer show, you knew what
exactly
to steer people. Because no matter what, the people are going to look on that list and they're going to want the one thing that you don't
have.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah. It's the one thing you don't offer. That's the Louis theory.
And the last thing is, you know, as you're driving on the forklift, and then you got another person driving the forklift or pulling orders, and then I'm saying order, no that's out, and then the kid has to like put a knife in me and turn and says, do we have any fireworks in this warehouse? And you got warehouses full of them, and
right, it's not what they want.
Yeah, it's always that way.
Yeah. So then going to the dealer show, what was the best reaction on that one?
Boy, dealer show was great. I mean,
well,
weather,
I heard
it was well attended. The weather was probably the best year or second best year, because I know we had another one like this a while back.
Uh-huh.
It was just great. Blue sky all day.
Perfect.
And everything ran real smooth. Even Dino wasn't nervous this trip. I mean,
no,
even
the,
or this
for
time.
This dealer
yeah,
show,
yeah,
really?
This dealer show. He wasn't all scrambling and flustered. It seemed really, really well handled. My hat's off to him, because as I was in China the week before, I couldn't do the grocery shopping and do all that stuff. And he kept saying, I got it handled. I got it handled. The only thing he forgot was I needed some help. He forgot to do. He forgot about my help. He thought I was talking to them from China. But I said, no, I'm in China. I don't really talk to
you. You had nobody in the warehouse to help you.
No, not really. But then, you know, we pulled it together, though. And thank God I'm still able and willing to do it. You know, a lot of people would say, I don't want to do this. I'm tired. My back hurts. But I'm not like that. So.
Right.
I got a lot done, but it was really a good dealer show and a lot of great products. Still a lot of great products to come in. So unfortunately, we couldn't show them all that I would like to have shown them, but at least we showed them a lot of stuff. So
That's, I mean, that's the the purpose of the dealer show is to get these people and get them excited about the products, and also you give back. I mean, you you feed them all.
Yeah,
it's nice to put faces with the names. And you had somebody from Hawaii come out.
Yeah,
and see
a friend
you.
Of mine from Hawaii came in. A few friends from Chicago had came in as well. And a guy flew in on Monday from California. So we got a lot of good feedback. It was really good. Yeah, it was a great show.
Good. So and I was that was my, next on my list, Dino's behavior, but Dino was
Dino he was good. He wasn't stressed out. And I said, well, he's on his medicine. And you know, and then of course they look at me like in shock that that he's on medicine. Which I find funny when I say things like that, when I say, well, he's taking his medicine.
Well, because you always have a smile on your face and nobody knows if they should take you seriously.
I know. So then obviously look at me like saying he's on medicine and he's not on medicine. Right. But if you would look at him, why is that such a stretch to believe? He should be on medicine.
I think they're more shocked at the fact that you would actually throw him under the bus and tell everybody that he is on medicine because he would have obviously told you that in confidence.
Well, I would just like say me looking at him.
Well, right. It's not.
I would say he's on medicine.
It's not a stretch to believe. But I was thinking of you as because I knew you were driving up to Fargo. And I was like, you know, that's got to be you have to be very anxious at that time when you know you're pulling into Fargo and you're like, you got the dealer show. You just came back from China. You're like, what is my store going to look like? What is my warehouse going to look like? No, you can't.
When you walk into the warehouse, you never know what's going to happen, you know. Right. And you know, and then they gave me this app on the telephone. I still can't see the cameras. It's amazing how they just hide that office. You know,
what do you mean you can't? You have an app on your phone.
I got the app on the phone to look at the cameras, and I just can't do it. I mean, you know, they're not loading up. And then one will blame the Wi-Fi there. One will blame my Wi-Fi, but we know it's not my Wi-Fi. And I could maybe say it's the Wi-Fi out there. I don't know. But
it could be.
The other nice thing is, though, I got two new apps this trip. See, I have the first app, which is the XMI app, which shows me all of the cameras. And like I say, that's kind of a fun thing to do. You see all the cameras.
But on your phone, it would be way too small.
Yeah, but then you blow them up, and you can still get the picture of it. But then the best thing then I also have is the Nest app.
Oh, what's that?
Now, this one works really well. That's why it's amazing. The stuff I use work really well. You see, right now we got Dino's temperature on 69, okay?
At his house? At his house?
Yeah. So
okay.
This will really be good for the winter months. Now, say like I turn down his heat to like 50.
Right.
You know, just because I don't think he should be sleeping at 6 o'clock in the evening. I think he should be up. So I just go on here and I turn down his heat. That'll be sure enough to wake the bear. So this will really be good. I can really mess with him, you know.
Right.
Sort of like how I can mess with my father when he's been drinking. I just go on the Cadillac app and shut his car off. These are kind of fun things to have on your phone. Yeah.
My son does that to me. He's got an app for the cable and he from his mom's house. Like, I'll be watching TV, and then he'll switch it to, like, Animal Planet. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'll be watching a hockey game, and I'm like, and then he'll, like, he can, like, you could put words on there, like, you know, Ron's TV, or he'll say, you know, whatever. And I'm like, you know, text him, really? You should be sleeping. Why are you messing with my TV?
Yeah, let's not take the little bit of life I have.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Really, you got to be messing with my TV too. So
it was kind of it was kind of nice. So we got these two new apps on the phone, and then we can watch the people in the store. Now I can do that, you know, which is you know like the master plan. I tell them, at some point, you guys are gonna, you know, I'm gonna have to be doing this all on FaceTime with you guys. I mean, you know, can only lead a horse to water. I can't make him drink it.
So you have cameras all throughout the warehouse?
Yeah, we got cameras in the showroom.
In Dino's bedroom, you know.
No. Yeah. No. Or the bathroom. I see blowing out the speakers on my telephone.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
So we had to go there, you know.
Putting on that yellow bikini that he was wearing in that Facebook picture.
Yeah, I even have some of the staff there calling him Auntie Dino now.
Oh, nice.
Nice. That's what I said.
All right.
Okay.
Let's do fireworks news. Go to page 9 in your thing here.
Page 9. All right. Wow, I'm really way behind. I was only on page 2. Okay.
Yeah, all
page
right.
Nine.
So
here we go.
Fireworks sales now legal in Iowa. We've talked about this a couple of times. So Governor Terry Branstad signed a bill into law legalizing the sale of fireworks to consumers in Iowa. Law includes, but is not limited to, shells, mortars, Roman candles, bottle rockets, snakes, and firecrackers. They can be sold from July 1st through the 8th and from December 10th
June
through...
June 1st.
Oh, yeah, through July 8th. And from December 10th through January 3rd. That's pretty lenient.
Yeah, that's really nice.
Only in permanent structures or tents through nonpartisan legislative services, agency said. Licenses will be issued, will be for temporary retailers. Individual cities... Of course, though, individual cities have the authority to outlaw their use. Both Des Moines and Urbandale plan to ban the use within the city limits.
Within the city limits, yeah, okay.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So, I mean, but that's good.
Yeah, that's good. In fact, we had a wholesaler call up.
From Iowa?
From Iowa, and he said, hey, you know, fireworks are legal in Iowa. I'd like to get some fireworks from you, of course. You know, they, mm-hmm. you know, no money. Can you front them to me? And then I'll do the stand and
right.
I'll pay them. And I'm like, well, let's, you know, I said, well, we'll talk about that. But, you know.
Well, now, is that something you'll go and, like, you'll go and seek out or you'll wait for them to call you?
And
you take advantage of the opportunity. You don't really, I mean, that's. Iowa's not that close to Fargo.
No, and I'm not so good at seeking these people out. You know, it's nice to be seeked out, you know. I've always been hunted, never been the hunter.
Ah, there you go.
You know, so I'm still being hunted. I'm being haunted and hunted. But anyway, so yeah, they'll have to seek me out. You know, when you want the best, you find it. So
I guess. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So but you don't so what are the neighboring states? Iowa.
Well, Iowa, Illinois, Nebraska,
you can go there
Illinois.
Yeah.
So okay. we got two calls already. We'll do some business with them.
Well,
it's
certainly something good.
And we'll, you know, give them short credit and see what happens, you know.
You give them short, what is short credit?
Well, you know, we won't give them a lot of money. We'll give them some merchandise, you know, up front. Mm. And we'll say, hey, if you need any more, you're going to have to call back. See, that's the problem with our business the most, Ron, is that you like to give somebody a little bit of merchandise. And then when they need more, to call you back and then say, hey, well, pay me for the ones you sold at least. Yeah. But the problem is nothing sells until the very, very end in most cases. Right. So by time they need more, we might not be able to get it to them anyways. Mm-hmm. And then we're still stuck with we never got the second order.
And you're wasting money because you're shipping it multiple times.
Yeah.
You could ship it all at once. Obviously.
Ship it
was
all
like
at
China.
Once.
They want to ship 800 containers or 800 cases. They're not going to ship you half a container.
Yeah, no, especially when you're paying for it like that. So. But it's just that's the sad part. You know, I tell people if you need more last minute, of course it works for the people who are close by, but does not work for some of the further locations.
Right. Okay. You know? So then, of course, the next one, page 11, Newton Fire Chief, and this is in Iowa. They're talking about, talking about public safety already. Lighting an object on fire, letting it fly away uncontrollably is dangerous. So, you know, now that once it's been... approved. Now, of course, you're going to have to wait for the fallout from all these individual counties and stuff. But that's, we've talked about that before. That's the problem is that even though there's statewide or federal, you know,
the city supersedes the state. So we'll see what happens with some of the, you know, local areas there. Right. I find that I keep up on the PGI website, their PGI Pyro page. And, they're asking any retailers that would like to invite CNN in, because CNN would like to do a news report on us, you know, just on fireworks in general and fireworks businesses. And then you got some of those people like, oh, yeah, that's awesome. Those are not the guys that are in the fireworks business. I don't think CNN would have anything positive to say about fireworks, being that they're always on the other side of the coin with casualties and accidents.
Right.
So I was surprised that some of the responses were, oh, yeah, that'd be awesome to get our opinion across by CNN. But you know how you know, we go through this all the time with news media.
They'd spin the story the wrong
sometimes
way.
Sometimes the story might be spin, and a lot of other people agreed with the way I'm speaking as well. So I don't know if we're going to, CNN will do a piece at the, I don't know if it's going to be at the PGI. I don't think it was going to be at the PGI, but about fireworks, and the PGI is asking other members. But most people were, I don't think it's a good idea to have CNN around a busy location or busy time of year. God forbid an accident were to happen or something. So I kind of agree with that. But it's funny how PGI or how CNN wants to do a report on fireworks.
And that's basically right because of the Iowa thing?
No, nothing to do with Iowa. It just happens to be fallen into place.
Right.
And now they're contacting PGI and they want to see if they can do a piece.
Yeah, every news channel will do that kind of stuff right around this time.
You know, I have to say, though, when the Fargo News Media comes out to my store, which they come out several times, you know, of course, we always keep it positive because that's what it is for me, especially. But and also they don't like come on and talk about accidents. They're like, hey, what's the new products out this year?
Right.
They're more into the fun and festivities of fireworks, where I think CNN's going to take the approach of doom and gloom type.
Yeah, you certainly they could spin it any way they want.
So,
when they start reciting all the injury statistics and stuff like that.
And then you're talking about a local media versus like a global media. So, you know, God only knows what they say.
Next one, we'll go to a happier place. This is called this is Happily Ever After, Firework Fury. Disney apologizes for overnight fireworks testing. So Happily Ever After, I guess, is a new show.
Oh.
There's a little picture. Look at all those fireworks.
Wow.
So this is a new show. So, but I guess Orlando area residents living in the west side of Orange County said they woke up to some sounds early Wednesday morning. This was back on May 3rd. Mm-hmm. It was about 1:30 in the morning. So I guess Disney tested this show. They tested the show at 1:15 in the morning when nobody was expecting it. Some people were. A spokesperson for Disney said this was part of the final testing for the incoming Happily Ever After show. I mean, some people are commenting, it's so stupid. You know, one guy said, oh, it's like North Korea. Another one said, I thought someone got into Disney and got a hold of their fireworks. And these other guys like said, oh, I'm thankful I didn't have to go to work today. Me and my family and my kids are exhausted. Really? How long could this fireworks show have been? You should just be excited that and these people all realize they live within earshot distance of Disney, you're going to have some fireworks.
Them roller coasters? They make noise, too. I mean, you've been to Cedar Point.
Well, this was one in the morning.
Been to Cedar Point with me. You know, some people love having their boat in the marina so close to the amusement park, and others get tired of that click, 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 click from the roller coaster. But you live next to Disney, you know? I mean... You know what? I think they're just jealous because they don't have a castle themselves.
There you go.
But I agree.
You want to have a castle.
1:15 in the morning. I'm surprised a company like Disney.
Well, why would they wait that long?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't they just do it at like 10:30, 11?
I'm
I guess they had. They said they had a sign. If you go to page 17, flyers were handed out to guests saying the Magic Kingdom will be testing fireworks on Sunday, May 7th and Tuesday, May 9th. So they sent out, they gave flyers to all the people who were staying on the property. People who lived by. There were some people who, like, if you look at all these responses, you know how people like a blog and they can send their responses. Like, some people was like, can't wait. They look gorgeous. You know, 1:20 in the morning. Disney must be rehearsing for Happily Ever After. Bittersweet. Another one, you know. Holy woken from sleep, Batman. You know what I mean? And then, you know, anyone else hearing the booms? But then there's, of course, one guy, if you look on page 18. And there's just nothing but F-bombs. Am I tripping or is that really fireworks I'm hearing coming from Disney at 1:30 in the effing middle of the night? Blank.
Yeah,
trying to sleep, man.
Yeah.
I mean, just come on. You gotta roll with it, don't you?
Yeah, I believe that way. And... But I roll with everything, you know,
you
like a truck driver
Teflon.
Cuts me
you're not,
off.
You're not,
I just
yeah.
I just back off. You know, the guy's got to go somewhere. I don't. I mean, you
you're
know.
Teflon.
Yeah.
Here's another story. This is I think this is Australia from the a man 31 years old was being sentenced in Supreme Court over explosions and a drug offense. So he set off some fireworks in a club bathroom and he hands himself in after finding God. Mm. He told us. told the sentencing hearing on Friday that he handed himself in January this year because he became a Christian. He admitted to having an ice and alcohol problem. What's an ice problem? Is that just, does he likes ice in his whiskey?
No, isn't ice like some type of drug?
I have no idea.
Ice like a crystal meth or something like that?
Oh, could be.
I don't know.
So he admitted to having an ice and alcohol problem, said he was keen to undergo rehabilitation. God is that I will become drug free, he said. So it's never a good idea to set off fireworks in a club bathroom. And then, you know, I guess if you're going to do that.
I mean, I could tell you what I did in high school in the bathrooms. And
yeah,
I thought
you've
it
gone
was,
through
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I thought it was fun for the whole school. But anyways, I see that. So basically, he didn't get caught setting fireworks off in the bathroom or drugs. He
was guilty. He felt guilty.
He felt guilty after he found God. He decided to turn himself. I wonder what else he turned himself in for. Because I mean, if I were to find God, I don't know how much time I would have. I'd have to really.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know where I would start. First grade, kindergarten, the candy bar store. I have no idea.
Yeah. You'd be apologizing and
oh my, I don't
confessing
even,
to many, many things.
Yeah, I don't even know where I would start.
All right, next one. Here's another. I think this is Australia or something like that. Football hooligans reduce ball boy to tears after fireworks are thrown towards him by his own fans. So this is page 20 now.
Page 20.
Football. So this is soccer. The match suspended after a blast exploded from the home fans who lit up flares and threw firework bombs onto the pitch. I guess the pitch is the field.
Oh, yeah.
A terrified ball boy was reduced to tears after a firework bomb was thrown towards him by his own fans and forced the game to be suspended for the weekend. The incident has caused nationwide stir. They've been promised that they would reward the youngster. They give the youngster a reward. If you look, there's some pictures. Look at like page 23.
Oh,
I mean,
God.
They
wow.
This poor guy. This guy's a ball boy. He's, you know, I'm happy-go-lucky. I get to bring the ball out. I get to bring the Gatorade out to the players, and all of a sudden, these football hooligans, they just start throwing fireworks and lit flares at him.
Well, that's going to show you. I've always said every job has a hazard. You know.
Oh well, yeah. Well, yeah, but it's, and again, don't use fireworks for the wrong thing. Don't light them off in a club restroom and don't throw him at the ball boy.
Yeah, not the ball boy. I mean, I hope they know that they reduced him to tears. I mean, I wouldn't want that printed on about me, but, you know.
Yeah.
Let me just take a short commercial break here real quick.
All right, we'll take a commercial break.
The Fireworks Brigade is what will make America great again.
Marky got with Sharon, and Sharon got Sharia. She was Sharon's outlook on the topic of disease. Mikey had a facial scar, and Bobby was a racist. They were all in love with Donald.
Independence Day's really something. A day that's really grand. When lighting firecrackers, don't hold them in your hand. Cause when they go off, all your fingers get fried. And you'll be left with only stubs. An ugly sight, ugly sight, ugly sight. Independence Day's really something. A day that's really grand. When lighting firecrackers, don't hold them in your hand. You'll hear a big kabam, and you won't have a hand. Don't hold them in your hand.
John?
Okay.
All right. Hey, this is this next story, page 25.
24.
You're following
25.
Along in your hymnal. Did you ever go to a church and they said... Following along in your hymnal, did you ever follow along in the hymnal?
No, I always gave the book to the old lady next to me because I says, no need. I
got these all in my head.
I told her that I just memorized everything, you know.
This is another one of those where we always talk about how the headline, it always includes fireworks, even though it shouldn't, because there's a lot more going on here. So this is Charlotte, North Carolina. Knives, fireworks, and hit list found in Union student's bag. So several knives, a bottle of flammable liquid, fireworks, and a hit list were found in a student's book bag at Forest Hills High School in Union County. The student intended to stab several other students at the school on Tuesday. The hit list included names of multiple students. According to, look, if you look at the picture of the fireworks, they found like a couple little lady fingers. I mean, maybe my picture is a little better. Look at my picture. But I mean, the suspect,
like a couple firecrackers.
Yeah, you need to put fireworks in the headline. I mean, come on. Yeah. The knives and the hit list isn't of a bigger concern. Look at the knives. I mean, those are some big knives.
Yeah, those are. Yeah, I mean, those are big knives. I mean, the little firecrackers he had, that could have been left over in the bag from like 4th of July. Now, you know what I find funny? I mean, this is just how, you know, things change. You know, back in my high school days, a hit list would have been certain cheerleaders I wanted to visit at night. But now list is actually like a hitman list.
Yeah,
I mean, this is like
to kill people.
Talk about Godfather stuff. I mean, like I say, a hit list was like, you know, cheerleader was on my list to, you know, to call up.
Well, yeah.
What
so,
a,
but
what
there's
a hit list.
There's no need to include fireworks in that headline. The fireworks is the least of this guy's problems. So. Here's another story from Hawaii. Criminal trial against a company accused of mishandling fireworks involved in a deadly 2011 explosion is about to occur. Donaldson Enterprises and Charles Donaldson are charged with conspiracy, storing and treating hazardous waste without a permit, and making a false statement. I guess this guy continued directing his employees to store and treat the fireworks in a Waikili bunker.
Oh, yeah, Waikele.
Waikele bunker in suburban Honolulu, even after the temporary permit expired. And then he lied about disposing of all the fireworks in one seizure. And when 6 35-gallon bins remained, he lied in order to get paid. So this guy was paid by the government to destroy the fireworks, and then he didn't do it. And then you know, black powder and flash powder gained strength when accumulated in large quantities. He had a contract to dispose of the fireworks. In order to finish the job faster and get paid faster, he directed employees to break apart the fireworks using metal tools, remove the powder inside, and store the powder in cardboard boxes. That can't be code, is it?
It seems like a lot more work. Jesus. And then what are you going to do with all this powder that's already mixed? I don't know what that guy was thinking. Sounds like he didn't want to, like, I don't think he wanted to pay the dump, so he thought if he could just put it in powder and maybe go to the beach. spread it out as sand or something. Jesus.
When we were together last time, you mentioned Larry Lomaz, and you said Larry Lomaz file.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. What a good picture.
There he is.
What a good picture. There's my guy. Good old Larry. So. Yeah. Wow.
I got the Dragnet theme out, because if you Google Larry Lomaz, a lot of stuff comes up, like the government versus this guy and that. He liked to muck it up.
My, Larry was a fighter all the way to the end. I mean, who lives 9 months in hospice?
Yeah, so.
Come on.
Larry Lomaz. So, yeah, why don't you tell a little, why don't you go a little through the history of him? Because we talked a little bit about him. So he owned fireworks place in Ohio, right?
Larry Lomaz, he, as the story often goes, he left home at 19 years old in the early 70s or maybe late 60s or something like that. And he didn't talk to his parents for 2 years. And when he came back to visit him, he was driving a Cadillac Eldorado. So that was the start of Larry. Larry the Liquidator, I always called him, you know, among other things. You know, he resembled a lot of Larry Flint in the movie. You know,
he kind of looks like him. Larry isn't. He's obviously standing outside of a container.
And Larry was a fighter. Now, see, he had the pen in hand because Larry always liked to sign. He would give his autograph. Like he was somebody famous. You know, he's like, I'll sign that pack of firecrackers for you. I'll sign this and sign that, you know.
Is that why you had me sign in the happy ending?
Yeah, I had you. Yeah, because I think it's important to, you know, put a signature to these things. But anyways, Larry was.
He was one of your mentors, really.
Yeah, he really was. It's a shame that he wasn't. You know, as many times as I pride myself on being different from Larry, I do see a lot of similarities lately between me and Larry. So, of course, not the weight or the height, but anyway, a lot of similarities in our
business,
in our actions and everything like that. So, and I guess now the more you're in the fireworks business, the more you understood what Larry was fighting for all the time. But Larry did bring the fight on every level to everyone. You know, whether it be a newspaper or a radio station he didn't pay, or I mean, he just was something.
Yeah, I mean, I looked at legacy.com. Here's his obituaries. Godspeed, my old friend. I just heard I will miss you, my friend. One of the greatest innovators that the fireworks industry has ever known.
Yeah.
In 1975, had many great times with him. Him and Patty did a great plenty of business. You know, Patty.
Oh, that's from Bob Kellner. You know, I never, ever read his legacy. I was out.
Who's Bob Kellner? You know Bob Kellner.
Yeah, Bob Kellner.
Oh, wait. And that actually brings me up to this. So on Twitter, I looked up for Larry Lomaz, and this is Bob Kellner's Twitter feed. Look at his responses to Larry. In the middle of a deposition, Larry once told me a female federal attorney that said she'd be much better mood after one night with him. So Larry told the female attorney that if she slept with him for one night, she'd be in a better mood.
Yeah, see, now here's it going too. Larry would invite you to dinner. You'd have a great time. Then you'd find your wallet, girlfriend, and car gone, but the tab would still be with you.
That's Larry Lomaz, huh?
Yeah.
You want to read that last one?
Let's see. Larry Lomaz of Midwest Fireworks died recently. He was one of a kind. Once had an REO Speedwagon and a bikini contest in his parking lot, which we were the food vendors for Kenny Chesney in his parking lot before Kenny Chesney was
that
even
was Kenny
famous.
Chesney
that was
right
Kenny Chesney, yeah,
I,
yeah
I told my girlfriend that because we saw Kenny Chesney in a football stadium last year. I was like, I saw this guy when he played in front of 300 people and I was selling sandwiches.
We cooked him cheeseburgers because Larry screwed up his dinner.
Did we really? I don't remember. We cooked Kenny Chesney cheeseburgers
and sent him to his trailer because Larry was supposed to have like this meal brought in, and then
you'll vouch for that because my girlfriend's going to be crazy.
We were ahead of our time. There.
I was going to ask if you knew this Bob Kellner, but this was obviously back. It looked like it was September of 2012.
Bob Kellner is owner of Kellner Fireworks in Ohio or Pennsylvania. Is it Ohio? I always get mixed up. But me and
might see him at NFA this year.
Oh, you know he's I ran against Bob Kellner as the treasurer of NFA.
Oh, okay.
And I mean, of course, I didn't have a chance, but you know, one doesn't have a chance unless he knows he doesn't have, unless you run.
Right. Well,
so,
right.
But it was fun. And you know, I mean, Bob Kellner had pens and everything else he's handing out. I got nothing, but you know, it's okay.
So I figured what I would do is every once in a while I'd read a story about Larry. Here's one that I found, page 31. We were talking about Hawaii a little while ago. This one is, it looked like, Larry, Larry was, trying to get the people in. Larry did a lot of business in Hawaii. So Larry was talking to the news media, trying to get his point across. And he had some type of agenda because Larry said to the news, I think there will be some panic buying. Larry said retailers double their orders, anticipating a run on fireworks that will be banned in Oahu. So he was trying to stop them from banning fireworks. So he's basically saying, if you ban these, there's going to be a run and we're going to, you know what I mean? Yeah. So I would have to say conservatively, you're going to have 100,000 people putting product away for next year, Lomaz said. So like you said, he was always looking out for the fireworks industry. And, you know, and he seemed like a good guy. I honestly don't remember him. I know I met him through you.
Yeah, no, Larry was a good guy. A lot of people liked him. I mean, a lot of people hated him, but there were some that liked him, and you just felt energy around Larry. Larry would bring energy to the room, not always good, not always bad, but he brought a lot of energy to the room, and some of the best times at PGI, people would gather at the local coffee shop, no matter what state we were in, and just listen to Larry Lomaz hold court, basically, at the table. And,
right.
You know, our good friend Zingy, you met him many times. He was a big Larry Lomaz fan. I mean, they traveled from Kent State just to go see the fireworks factory. You know, it was almost a cult. Larry developed a cult in the fireworks industry of followers. It was really incredible.
Yeah.
Just a shame. Later on in life, it seems like he kind of got twisted. Or
what do you mean twisted?
Well, it just seemed like he kind of lost a passion for fireworks and became more of involved in a fight with everybody, you know.
He just wanted a fight.
Yeah, it was just, and it became with everything and everybody.
Reminds me of another friend that you have. Big Mike.
Oh, yeah. Big Mike, same way. Yeah.
He likes to fight.
Yeah. For some. And it is, the funny thing is I attract all these fighters and I'm not a fighter myself. It's amazing. Yeah. You know, I mean,
I don't fight either.
Yeah. I mean, I've always prided myself as I'm a lover, not a fighter.
There you go. You
know, now I fight to love.
So maybe next time we'll have another story about Larry if I can dwindle it down a little bit, and maybe I'll do a little bit more research. But I thought that was good.
Larry was a legend, though, that's for sure.
And I, like I said, I felt the Dragnet theme fitted him good because you would always.
But the funny thing was, you know, because I was away for his wake, and I did see him in the hospital several times in Ohio before he died, But I never was there for his wake, so I never really got closure. But I'm going to read these because I never did. Now I go on legacy.com when people die, yeah, and I write a little thing. But for some reason, I never did that? I never did that for Larry. So I'm going to read a lot of these. He didn't have many. It goes to show you how many friends he actually had. You know, what do you got?
Yeah.
Eight?
Yeah, there's eight people.
Eight.
Yeah.
If I were to die, there'd probably be 800 of these.
Like you said, you want to go out looking like Seabiscuit.
Yes. And you know, Larry Lomaz, Larry Lomaz, after he stayed at my first condo in Cabo San Lucas, he bought Sammy Hagar's. that's how Larry rolled.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So here's our next story, page 32. New Jersey may lift the ban on certain fireworks. New Jersey is one of the three states that completely ban the sales and use of any fireworks. There's a new measure from State Senator Scutari. Those people 16 and older would be permitted to sell, possess, store, and use sparklers, snakes, and glowworms, smoke devices, and trick noisemakers, including party poppers, snappers, and drop pops. That must be snaps.
Yeah, snappers, yeah.
Yeah, lots and lots of people buy fireworks in Pennsylvania and bring it over anyway. We might as well let our economy have a little bit of a jump. Citing the American Pyrotechnics Association, Scutari said Americans spend nearly $755 million on fireworks during the 4th of July season in 2015.
Wow.
So New Jersey's a place with loosening up a little, but, you know, snakes and stuff like that. So we'll just skip that one. So the next one is Mexico. We had a explosion in Mexico not too long ago. There was that one in Tulupatec. Now here's one in just east of Mexico City. 14 people, all but three of them were children, were killed in a Mexico fireworks explosion. I guess they say that.
So they were all children,
except for three of them.
Wow.
The fireworks industry reports nearly $10 million a month in revenue in Mexico. So
wow.
Fireworks are pretty big in Mexico. Fireworks had been stored inside a home behind a church ahead of a May 15th religious celebration.
Now that's 10 million pesos, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's 10 million pesos. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a little less.
Still though.
Yeah. So this wasn't like the Tulupatec where they actually make the fireworks. This is they're just being stored inside a home behind a church ahead of a May 15th celebration. Someone outside launched something in there. The home was destroyed and it killed these kids. So that's sad. You got to store these things.
And the explosion was actually in a fireworks market where people can go and buy fireworks.
Right. That was the last one. Yeah. So. All right, here's another one. Fireworks hauling group seeks hours exemption. Do you ever run into this? The American Pyrotechnics Association, which was granted an exemption from the federal 14-hour on-duty rule. You know what that is? Drivers can only drive.
Yeah, you can drive 14 hours. You got to be – I thought it was actually – I thought they changed it. I thought it was 12 hours and then 12 hours on and 12 hours off, you know. But
Well, I guess the APA – last year they got them to extend the 14-hour on-duty window by excluding off-duty and sleeper berth time of any length. Mm-hmm. Drivers covered under the exemption would still not be allowed to drive more than 11 hours in the 14-hour on-duty period, and they still must take a full 10 hours off-duty.
Yeah.
I guess what they're doing is because drivers are responsible for setting up and staging fireworks shows when they arrive at show locations and to meet the demand for the shows without the exemptions, the companies would have to hire a second driver for most trips.
Yeah.
So the APA looking out for you,
trying to
get some lenience from these driver rules. I don't know. I mean, my old roommate Paul would know more about that. And you used to drive.
Well,
too.
Yeah. I think, for me, if I worked over, if I worked over 10 hours. No, I had to have 10 hours. That's why I had to have 10 hours in between my shifts. And if I didn't have 10 hours in between my shifts, they'd have to pay me extra money and all that. But you had to have 10 hours in between your shift.
Okay.
So basically, like a lot of times, a truck driver would pull up, park his truck, and then you're unloading it, and he can be sleeping in the back. You know, they can't count unloading and loading time. But in these firework guys, most of them are unloading the truck themselves and helping with stage setup because they're really basically they work for the fireworks company. They just have a CDL.
Right. And then if they know how to run the show, that's a double bonus.
Yeah, they're going to be doing that.
All right, here's our last. This will be our last fireworks story, and then we got the couple of Cabo stories in Fargo. We got to do our little play because we're running out of time here. Fairfield Inc.'s 3-year deal for Red, White, and Kaboom. Fairfield officials have agreed to a multi-year contract since the city planning took over. So there's this big show in Fairfield, Red, White, and Kaboom. And so this company, have you ever heard of them? Razzie's famous fireworks show?
Oh, Razzie's, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yep. So what they did was, though, they signed a three-year deal. Is this something that's I guess, standard in the business? So they signed a three-year deal. This way they were able to cut the cost. So it's, I guess it costs $42,000 a year. The people in the county said, we saw an opportunity here to save a considerable amount of money. So they signed a three-year contract to supply fireworks, but they got a deal, right? So, yeah. I mean, you would do the same thing, right?
Yeah, and then also, if you are set in stone of having your fireworks done on the 3rd of July or July 4th, you better sign a long contract because chances are you might not be able to get them the next year. There's only so many fireworks companies, and there's only one or two days that everybody wants their show shot on.
Right. Well, yeah, so. Absolutely. So... All right, let's go now to page 44. So we talked about the dealer show. One of the things we did for the dealer show, I had some of those most interesting man commercials done for you.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Here he is.
Oh yeah.
I can't believe we didn't talk about this. This guy's name was Mr. Goldsmith.
Is he in another commercial now? It's another commercial. It looks like his face in the background or saying something about legends. It's
maybe
it's not a beer. It's like a bourbon or whiskey. And then it says drink amongst the legends. And I think it's his picture in the back.
It could be. But this guy.
A handsome looking man.
His name is Mr. Goldsmith. But this guy was replaced. Did you know that?
He retired.
Well, he retired. Now they got this guy. So this guy is French actor Augustin Legrand, and what we're talking about is those most interesting man, those Bozeki's commercials. This guy.
That guy looks like something you'd see in a pirate ship. I mean, the other guy is like,
he looks like a terrorist.
Looks like he's homeless.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, there he looks a little bit better, still. So, I mean, the other guy was like an older guy, but kind of a gentleman looking type, rich, guy looks like he's homeless.
Yeah. So they got new spots. Now this guy came in the new spots. I actually seen the new spots, and he's got a female co-star played by some actress. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it puts them on equal footing, and she spars with him in samurai arm. They do races, and it's, it's in the present area. It's kind of not the same.
No.
I agree with you. This guy is much more debonair.
Look at the hair and the beard and the watch. I mean, look at this guy. He's got a wrinkled shirt on. He hasn't combed his hair in ages.
Yeah. Well, so, and what I did was,
who am I to complain? Yeah. This guy's making millions. Yeah. Right. What am I talking about?
I did some of those most interesting man commercials for you, and you played them at the dealer show. I heard they went over well.
They went over well, and I think the funniest part was, of course, I have control of the microphone, and Steve has control of the commercials.
Uh-huh.
So I just made an announcement when people were starting to laugh. I says, remember, my show, my commercials. So,
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to play one of these, and we'll come back, and we'll get into our scene, okay?
Okay, sounds good.
His blood smells like Quick Match. He once lit a bottle rocket using only dental floss and tree bark. When a firework explodes in the forest and no one is there, he hears it. His 500-gram repeater holds 750 grams. His legend precedes him the way the flash precedes the boom of a triple break shell. He is Johnny Starr, the most interesting man in fireworks.
Yeah. All right. So how do you want to do this? Here's our chance. This is our big scene.
All right.
I got some more of those, too. We'll play those as they go along. Did you ever look through some of these? Here's some of these interesting ones. These most interesting man, page 46. He's on the upgrade list for flights he hasn't even checked into.
Yes.
He's never had to make a reservation for Valentine's Day. Hurting him only makes him more desirable. His former landlord uses him as a reference. We're guessing he doesn't have to pay the security deposit either, or first and last month's rent. This one I like. He can speak French in Russian. This doesn't even make sense, but if he says so. He once warned a psychic. He's Santa's secret Santa. Stuff like that. I like those.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So do you wanna just do this cold? You wanna try to do it? You wanna watch the scene? You wanna watch the scene first? I have the scene. You wanna see your motivation?
Yes. Let's see
your motivation. Yeah. All right. So if anybody doesn't know, this is from Godfather 2. This is Hyman Roth. This is played by Lee Strasberg. His nickname was Johnny Lips. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
His nickname in this was Johnny Lips. He was a mob boss, casino owner, financier.
I just remember Michael Corleone. He's been dying of the same heart attack for 20 years. I like it.
Is that what he said?
Yeah.
So he was a rum runner and Johnny Lips. So, and this is This is from The Godfather 2. This is a famous scene where they're walking through the airport and he gets whacked.
Yes.
And I'm assuming Michael Corleone put this in the, into motion.
Yeah.
So, all right. So let's listen to this. This is our pyro playoffs. Listen to this and then we will reenact this.
Because I think Tom Hagen said to Mike, why don't you just leave him alone? It's impossible to make a hit with around a bunch of reporters. And
federal agents.
And he's an old guy. He's going to die soon anyways. And Mike Corleone says, Tom, nothing is impossible. And the man's been dying of the same heart attack for 20 years.
Oh, so okay.
So Mike Corleone said, no, I'm done with this guy.
So all right, so here we go.
That would have been Larry Lomaz had he lived long enough. He would have looked like this guy and tried to go to Israel.
Yeah. So he's walking through the airport. Now they stop him.
Mr. Roth, you understand I'll have to take you into custody?
Yes. Can you give us your reaction to the High Court of Israel's ruling?
I'm a retired investor on a pension. I went to Israel because I wished to live there as a Jew in the twilight of my life.
Is it true you're worth over $300 million, Mr. Roth?
I'm a retired investor living on a pension. I came home to vote in the presidential election because they wouldn't give me an absentee ballot.
End scene.
The guy could have probably kept on running, but how do you get? I mean, I know like the terrorists, they believe in Allah and they do all that for them. But I mean, they got this guy to shoot him and then try to run, which you knew he was never going to escape.
Oh yeah, that was a kamikaze move. Totally, he knew he wasn't getting out.
I mean, did you know that when the Japanese came over to bomb Pearl Harbor, they didn't have enough gas to get back anyways?
I didn't pay attention to my history class.
They only gave them enough fuel to get one way, so they had no choice.
Really?
I still think I would have landed the plane somewhere in Hawaii and then, you know, smuggled myself back into Waikiki as a white, as a,
yeah, was a Hawaiian,
not as a white man, as a Hawaiian.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, no need to, no need to crash into the PT boat. I mean, you know.
Oh yeah, let's.
Yeah, you bomb some planes and then land secretly somewhere and run into the, you know, jungle.
There could be a lot worse things than a little leave on in Hawaii, right?
Yeah.
Little time off in Hawaii.
I heard one time in history class too that they found these people living in a jungle. They had no idea World War II was even over.
Really?
Yeah. They, you know,
how they know it started?
Well, no, they were like, you know, hiding out.
Oh.
They were hiding out.
They were soldiers.
Yeah, they were soldiers. Oh, they were hiding out. And then when they finally got discovered, they had no idea World War II was even over. They could have came. It'd be like me and you, like up in, you know, in this little room here because there's some, you know, like virus outside, but they found a cure for it 6 months ago and here we are.
We're still holed up in
the room.
Me and you with a bottle of water and a microphone.
Yeah, and a microphone. This is all another. See, there's so many good scenes.
Well, yeah,
that's why
gonna,
it was
this is
just
gonna keep going. We gotta stop. All right, you ready for your scene? Get page 50.
All right, 50.
Page 50. So you're you got two pages. Grab the second one. So obviously You're Roth, so it says Roth and John, and then I'm the narrator, and the other stuff is taped.
Yes.
All right, so you ready?
Uh-huh, yep.
I'm going to open the Pyro Playhouse, and let's see where this goes. All right, we've got footsteps and everything. You're going to love this.
I love it.
All right. We're inside a busy international airport terminal as Mr. Roth walks briskly through the concourse, flanked by two uniformed officers. He's stylishly dressed in a gray sport coat and is holding a fedora in his left hand. There's an overcoat draped across his forearm and a brown paper shopping bag dangling from his fist. Roth's right hand is placed firmly in his pants pocket. Mr. Roth has just arrived in this country, and although he is weary from his flight, he appears to be confident and smug. A cluster of photographers and reporters scuttle in front of the elderly Roth to snap photographs and ask questions. The man is obviously someone significant, and other travelers are trying to get a glimpse of the disorder. A federal agent steps in front of the procession, and Mr. Roth stops. Wait for him to stop. There you go.
Mr. Roth, you understand I'll have to take you into custody.
Yes, I understand.
I like the Jewish accent. Before the agent can put Mr. Roth in handcuffs, an impromptu press conference starts as reporters ask questions. One reporter, a large man in a white suit and a matching hat, is positioned directly in front of Mr. Roth. This particular reporter looks suspicious, and he scribbles furiously in his small notepad. A different reporter asks another question.
Can you give us your reaction to the High Court of Israel's ruling?
I'm a retired investor on a pension. I went to Israel because I wish to live there as a Jew in the twilight of my life.
A second question is offered by another reporter.
Is it true you are worth over $300 million?
I'm a retired investor living on a pension. I came home to vote in the presidential election because they wouldn't give me an absentee ballot.
The crowd lets out an uneasy laugh, but gracious. The large man posing as a reporter steps into Mr. Roth and shoves his right hand into Roth's gut. A gunshot is heard, and Roth slumps backward into the arms of the stunned escorts. The shooter runs straight towards the crowd and is gunned down by federal agents as he attempts to escape. There you go.
Boy, I love that scene. Yeah, it was great. I wish there was more lines.
Well, you get shot pretty much right away. So.
Yeah.
There's not much to that. You get shot pretty much right away. But, yeah, I thought you would like that.
Yeah, that was great. I like that. I'm a retired investor living on a pension. I came home to vote in the presidential election because they wouldn't give me an absentee ballot. See, Ron, I try to do the Jewish accent pretty good.
You're not bad, but you got a little Italian in there, too. You're like Jewish mobster.
Well, he's a Jewish mobster.
Yeah. That's quite fitting.
From New York, of course.
Yeah. So look on the screen. You know who those guys are?
Those are the Eagles.
The Eagles, yeah. So we were there a few months ago.
I'll tell you, the way their hair looks, it looks like they could be the monkeys.
That's got to be a 70s picture.
Jesus.
So.
They're all dead. Are they all dead now? No, they're still alive.
No,
huh?
Joe Walsh in the middle of
Where's Joe Walsh? I didn't know Joe Walsh part of the Eagles. I thought Joe Walsh was on his own.
He was when he started, but then he became part of the Eagles.
I got a Maserati and.
Just 185. And I lost my license. Now I don't drive.
That's like me there. They want to take my license away now.
Joe Walsh, he played. His group was the James Gang. Yeah, the middle guy.
Wow.
He was in the James Gang, and then they recruited him to be in the Eagles, but he did solo stuff too. Joe Walsh is a god, a guitar god.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, the Eagles filed a lawsuit Monday in U.S. District Court in Los Angeles seeking a variety of damages to halt any infringement. This is with that Hotel California.
So I'm wondering, is that why they stopped playing the Hotel California
Probably.
Song?
Probably. Remember, they didn't want
to
play
it. When I went there, they played it the whole time. And then when I was there, I don't know, about a month ago?
Well, we were there in February.
Yeah, and then I was there about a month ago, and I said... I said to the waiter, come on. I said, you're a good singer? He's like, I think so. I'm like, come on, sing us Hotel California. He just bust out laughing. It was a different waiter, though, but we had a good time. Phil Blaze was there and a couple others, and we had a good time.
Yeah, that is a great time. The lawsuit claims that the hotel sells merchandise, including T-shirts, posters, sweatshirts, bathrobes, keychains, playing cards, mugs, guitar picks, and refrigerator magnets, even... the tequila.
You think I'm bad?
Featuring the band's name and cover art from its 1976 album, Hotel California. The hotel actively encourages consumers to believe that the hotel in Todos Santos is associated with the Eagles to further their sale. And the hotel opened in 1950. Yeah, we've gone through all this.
But it still has a great history. Let these little Todos Santos people make some money.
Walsh needs another yacht, I guess.
I mean,
there's some coincidences that go along with the song that kind of make you think the song and this hotel are one and the same. One of the examples, Hotel California is accessed by driving down a long desert highway. And, of course, the opening line of the song is on a dark desert highway. And also another coincidence is the Mission Church of Pillar is located directly adjacent to the hotel.
Which
and the mission bells
is.
Are heard daily. Right. And one of the song's lyrics is, I heard the mission bell. So. Yeah. There's a lot of similarities, but
I would countersue them for making the song about my Hotel California.
There you go.
Or the Hotel California in Todos Santos.
Yeah. Something tells me somewhere along the line, the people who own the hotel got a cease and desist order, and then they just stopped playing that song. But they're still selling the merchandise.
And the merchandise, basically, is of their hotel. I mean, everything. They got. Yeah. I bought the map of... the Baja, hanging in my room.
Yeah.
The T-shirt is a picture of the hotel on it.
Right.
I wanted to get the actual old picture of Hotel California, like the actual picture, but they're out of them, but I'll get one again.
If they haven't stopped.
The keychains say Hotel California. There's nothing that says anything about the Eagles.
No, not at all. But the Hotel California, everywhere, that's like synonymous with the Eagles. Hotel
yes,
California.
But I mean... So what you're saying is you can't open up a hotel anymore and call it Hotel California?
No, you can, but...
They didn't have Hotel California trademarked in the song.
No, you can't open a Hotel California, but you can't sell Eagles merchandise in your.
But they're
your
not lounge. Selling. They're selling.
Well,
hotel.
It's very, very, very similar to Eagles.
They're not selling a Mission Bell. They're not. I mean,
well, no, but they're selling Eagle. They're not dissuading you from thinking at all that it's, you know, it was the Eagles. People go there because they think it the Eagles. It's a, you know, it's the place that the Eagles wrote about.
Are you gonna
go to court and are you gonna argue on the side against the Eagles?
I'm going on behalf of Toto Santos because just to let you know that I have
some copyrighted. Yeah,
I have a Garmin loaded with a topographical map of the Baja Peninsula. Okay. So that means that me and you could leave the home in Cabo, drive through the desert to Hotel California, no matter who owns it, without having to go on the road. We can go through the desert, you know, and because we only need to know how to go from point A to point B, there's no trails, but we can drive based on our GPS because of our topographical map.
Okay.
So we just got to watch out for a few cactus plants, but along the way, we can drive right from my driveway through the desert to Hotel California. I'm looking forward to it.
You're going
to
do that?
Yeah.
Really?
You're going to do it too.
Am I? Okay.
And we got room for four more.
We're in.
Six medium to big guys can fit
go.
Into Polaris.
I'm
That's
in.
All we need, yeah.
I'm in. All right, you know what this is, obviously. Maxim, did you see this
That's
one?
That's the new Maxim magazine.
The new Maxim. Did you read about Cabo?
No, I didn't
see,
read about
Cabo.
Oh, yeah. Carlos Slim, I heard of him.
No, Cabo. But, luxurious Mexico. Cabo, whatever. So there's
Cabo
an article.
Cabo Tulum and more, yeah.
I'm glad you didn't read this. There was an article. Look at that. You know what that is on the screen, John?
Oh, that looks like one of those.
You know,
Tostado or something?
You know what it is?
No.
It's a $25,000 taco.
Well, that's just sick.
Here you go. You ready?
I can't even eat them for $250.
Yeah, well, Taco Bell. Okay. $25,000 tacos are on the menu. The biggest of big spenders can find the delicacy. A corn tortilla filled with Kobe beef, shrimp, beluga caviar, and a black truffle brie. Topped with salsa, shot through with morita chiles and Kopi Luwak coffee made from partially digested coffee berries that have been excreted by civet cats and sprinkled with 24 carat gold flakes. This is at the Grand Velas Los Cabos Resort. Have you ever been there?
No, that is the brand new hotel.
You can go there for a $25,000 taco. Look at that thing.
Yeah, if I had to put that on
that's
my,
a better picture.
Yeah,
see
if I put
gold?
That on my charge card, it would take me 25 years to pay it off. Yes, but a good friend of mine from Bar Esquina is working there at Grand Villas. Very nice place.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, did you see the new Bravo Channel Cabo Vacation or something?
That's our next story.
Yeah,
you're not going to want to watch it.
Well,
you'll see. You'll see.
Yeah. Well, I saw it at Comedy Attractions, and it's a little bit dark for me. But
that's our next story.
I just want to see where they hang out. That's all.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I figured you'd watch. I brought it. So.
Now you do know that I was there when it was the basketball wives were there.
Oh no!
Yeah, they were sitting right next to me at a restaurant on the marina.
Yeah. So here's the taco, $25,000. The salsa uses chili peppers, ultra premium tequila, and civet coffee. This civet coffee is what got me. Civet coffee. It's coffee pooped out by a cat-like creature.
You know where I first heard that?
There he is.
Yeah, and you know where those are? You know,
an Asian palm civet. Look at this thing. I wouldn't eat any.
Yeah, they eat all that, and so you know that.
Look at, that's what his poop looks like.
Yeah, and then they make coffee into that. That's great.
You know, you've heard of this before,
and so have you.
No, where?
I'm gonna tell you who just first taught me this.
Who? I don't drink coffee.
My good friend Jack Nicholson. In the movie The Bucket List.
I didn't see that movie.
Ron, that's like a classic movie.
No.
So anyways, you know, Jack Nicholson's a very rich guy dying of cancer, and Morgan Freeman says, you like what kind of coffee? And then Morgan Freeman's a garage mechanic dying of cancer, too.
Uh-huh.
And they're in the same room together. One's a multimillionaire, one's a car mechanic. Uh-huh. And he says, you know that coffee, because Morgan Freeman was very well-read, even though he's not acting like he is. But anyways, he's very well-read.
He knows about this coffee.
He's very well-read in the movie. And he's like, you know what that coffee comes from? And he told Jack Nicholson where the coffee came from.
Really?
I don't even think Jack knew. He just knew it was expensive and had to have it. Kind of like someone you know.
Yeah.
It's expensive. I got to have it.
Yeah, there you go. So, in the top, yeah, exactly.
Can't mention no names here. This is a podcast.
The guy who makes the tacos said, You might want to pair it up with the resort's suggested $150,000 bottle of Lay 925 Piezon, whatever, some tequila. So
I think the resort's made enough suggestions.
Reservations and a temporary loss of sanity required. Yeah. I don't. I can never.
No.
Yeah. So here's that show you're talking about. Invite only. Cabo Dinner Goes So Wrong. There's the cast.
Yeah.
It's a reality show. They get all these people together, and I don't know. It looks like they're probably in a house in the Pedregal or wherever on the corridor.
Jeez, I hope they're not renting the one next to mine. That would to wake up to them every day. Jesus.
Yeah, yelling at each other.
Yeah, yelling at each other.
Doing whatever. Yeah. So yeah, I thought you would hear.
I love all these. I watch a lot of Bravo TV, Below Deck, Desperate House. Wives. I get into all those Bravo shows, but what goes through my mind is that why do they hang out with each other? They obviously don't like each other because all they do is spend the whole time arguing and fighting with each other, and then they make up and they fight with the other crew members. So yeah. I just don't get it. But I would like to see that just to see where they actually hang out and where they go.
Well, you know? So you can watch the first episode or something.
Yeah, it was on and I missed it, but I'm sure it's on a million times.
Let's do one Fargo story before we wrap it up. North Dakota police say they are investigating a menacing report involving a creepy clown and a man with a snake. Fargo police responded to an apartment building Saturday evening response to a report that the pair were scaring several children. Authorities say the snake was a boa constrictor about 3 to 4 feet long. Police interviewed the clown and his alleged cohort, and they could face a felony charge of terrorizing, according to the station. The clown had a knife, citing a witness. The witnesses said the two men approached the children, asked if they wanted to see a dead body, and threatened to kill them, the station reported. The witness told the station the kids ran home and the two men went back to their apartment in another building. So
now we were
what is Dino and Steve doing?
If we were doing a Karnak, I would say Dino going to the washroom outside the windbreak. A creepy clown and his snake.
There you go.
At first, I'm like, oh, my God, what is Dino? Why is Dino f***ing outside? But anyways.
A creepy clown and his snake.
What is Dino pissing outside the windbreak?
One more. What would Johnny do?
Oh, boy.
We talked about these before. This isn't a very controversial what would Johnny do. We talked about these firework Oreos. Mm-hmm. I don't think you want to read about a bobcat terrorizing a dog.
Oh, terrible. Did the dog die?
No, I think he's okay, but he's got a lot of puncture wounds.
Jesus, God.
What would Johnny do? So I guess Oreo, not only are they making these fireworks Oreos, but they're also putting out a competition to make your own Oreo. And I know you don't like eat candy or cookies or whatever, what would Johnny do? If you could devise or formulate your own Oreo, what would you make?
If I could form my own Oreo, what would I make?
What flavor?
What flavor?
I would go with a moon pie flavor Oreo.
Yeah,
I like a moon pie.
I would, whatever. I mean, see, I'm just a vanilla guy.
Yeah.
I'm just a vanilla guy. So if I was going to make some type of Oreo, to me, if I was going to make a fireworks Oreo, it would have to be something that kind of like that candy that explodes in your mouth. It'd have to be some type of bite in and then it just explodes in your mouth.
Well, that's what the fireworks Oreo
do. Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
What's going
to... They got Pop Rocks in them.
Oh, Pop Rocks in them.
Yeah.
So
you'll bite it and it'll explode. That's the fireworks Oreo. But now they want more suggestions for more flavors.
Oh, we have the white one. We have the green one. The mint.
Right. What would you theme a firework or an Oreo? If you could theme one, if you could do it, what would you do? They got Halloween Oreos. They're orange.
Yeah. I mean, I would probably just do red for some type of Valentine's Day or
Mastacholi flavored Oreo or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
Tomahawk steak flavor.
Once you don't eat cookies, then, but it goes straight. It was, what's the name of the company?
Mondelez.
Mondelez. Okay. So now this is a foreign company now owns.
Well, it used to be,
It used to be Nabisco.
Right. They sold off.
Goes to show you that the Mexicans are thinking outside the box here. Like, let's sell more Oreos. Let's just give them Pop Rocks in it. I mean,
yeah, there you go.
They could actually give, if I was going to design a Oreo cookie, but if it's, I don't know how it would taste, but I would just see, I'm a big chocolate chip fan. So I would
probably have a chocolate
chip cookie dough batter in the center.
Ah, see, there you go. That's a good, I don't know if they have that, but that's a good idea.
Yeah, because I'm just a chocolate chip kind of guy.
There you go. That's a good one. There you go.
So that's what I would do.
All right. Well, it's been a fun one. When we meet up next, I will be in Fargo.
Oh, that's right.
I'm sure your dad will be looking forward to me taking making the table, commandeering your table and say, "What the heck's all this equipment for?
What are you guys doing?" As he's drinking at the box, his favorite. I told people my dad will be at the box June 1st doing his nightly performance. They can all join him there.
Make sure Dino keeps the table a little bit clear in that back room, a little bit clear.
I'm going to try when he listens to the podcast, he'll get...
Dino?
Dino, you heard it from the boss himself.
I'm coming down on the 26th. Get me a room.
Get him a room, or we'll see what we're going on in the apartment.
At home?
Definitely. We'll keep the table clean for you.
Yeah.
And we'll leave the light on for you. That's kind of a Motel 6 commercial.
Yeah.
How about these motels? Now, I noticed Best Western changed theirs. No longer Best Western. Now it's just BW. You know,
like Buffalo Wild Wings.
Well, that's the first thing that comes to mind.
Yeah, right. BW.
And then, so they kind of changed their logo. You know, the Hyatt changed theirs several years ago, you know, with that little swoosh, you know, kind of deal.
Hyatt.
And then Best Western is BW.
I didn't know that.
And another one has changed too. So they're trying to make it a little more, catchy.
Yeah, trying to, update the logos, so to speak, and do all that stuff. Cool.
Yeah. And then Marriott's got the new hotel, Delta.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, I'm a big hotel fan.
Well, you're the traveler.
I have all these awards everywhere, so I try and, when they send me a thing saying your awards are about to expire, I make sure that I book that hotel. Even if I don't need one, I still book
it. You just book a hotel.
Yeah, just to
keep like the most interesting man.
To keep those points going.
You get upgraded in hotels you don't even have a reservation for.
I'm a point hoarder. The guy Jersey Mike today tried to get me to use some of my points. I'm like, no, there's a time will come when I'm broke and I'll need these points.
What is this world coming to when you can get points at Jersey Mike's?
Oh, yeah, I got a huge points. In fact, I sent the secretary there from the chimney company to get me a Jersey Mike sub, and I gave her money. And then she went there and she got up to the register, and the guy said, does he want to use his points? And she's like, well, I don't think so. He gave me money, but what will he get for his points? And he's like, he could probably have anything on the menu.
You want a piece of the big boy's ass.
Remember that from old Lake Geneva story.
I remember that story. What a piece of
what
the big boy's
ass. What kind of meat would you like with your breakfast? Is the big boy around? And she's like, excuse me? The big boy. Is he here? The big boy's here? I want a piece of the big boy's ass.
I remember there that one. Go. That one in the blimp driving. Those were my favorites. Yes, good. We'll be in Fargo. We'll have a bunch of fun and frivolity. We'll get rocking and rolling in Fargo when in late June there.
Yeah, I'm ready to go back to work.
Later.
Later.